let's play ball. Hallelujah. How many watched the World Series last night? Not too many. Okay. Well, yay for the Houston Astros. Good win. If you didn't know, they won the World Series last night. Amen? Okay, so we have a lot of baseball teams here in New York, but we only have two major teams. The first one was the Mets, which we had their intro song that I walked up to. That's one of their walk-up songs, as they call it, that they come out with. So I really like that one, so I use that one. And, of course, the New York Yankees! Woohoo! Whose outfit I have on today, okay? So, unfortunately, neither one of our teams made it to the World Series. But that's okay. The Yankees have a great track record, right? Okay, so whether you're a baseball fan or not, I trust you'll get something out of my baseball analogy today, okay? So, let's play ball. Okay, Pastor Jeff has been talking to us the past few weeks about being distinct as a Christian. And I had the pleasure of reading the book that he's been using for his series on being distinct, and he asked me to speak this Sunday in that regard, okay? So what does distinct mean? Well, distinct, it means distinguished as not being the same, okay, and not identical. Separate, different in nature or quality, dissimilar. So that is, we're to be faithfully different from the world. We're supposed to look different, okay? And not only are we supposed to look different, we're supposed to look at things differently, right? So the term that we've learned over the last few weeks is worldview, that we all have a worldview. In other words, we all see and view the world in a certain way and the issues in the world. But as Christians, we want to have a different worldview than the world around us, the secular world, right? So we want to be distinct, distinct. And you say, what in the world does distinct have to do with baseball? Well, I'm glad you asked. Just like in baseball, the pitcher throws you a pitch, right? They throw you a ball, okay? We too have things being thrown at us all day long. Yes? Yeah. Okay, actually in sales, when they throw you a pitch, they call it a sales pitch. Why? Because they're trying to sell you something. They want you to desire and buy in to what they're selling. And so that's the case not only with products, but also with ideas, with the world's mindset, and secular views in general are sometimes potentially they want to get you with that ball. They want you to buy in. So the ability to distinguish, you can put up the next slide, the ability to distinguish between truth and error or right and wrong is called discernment. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Discernment. Okay? Hebrews 5:14 says, I think we have a slide with it on there. There you go. Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay, so discernment is distinguishing good from evil, right? And notice that this verse says it's by constant use, okay? That's how you have your senses trained or exercised to discern between good and evil. It's by constant use. You have to keep swinging. Amen? Okay, I've actually never played baseball, but when I was a kid, I used to play softball, okay? I'm probably not holding the bat right, but it's been a while. Okay, but we used to play baseball, and this much I learned. I had to practice. We would practice, and my friend would sit out there, Ann would pitch me the ball. Now, in softball, you pitch underhand, right? And the ball's nice and soft. And I'm really glad because I got hit once. Yeah. And it's not so bad when it hits. It's still bad, but it's not as bad as a hard ball hitting you, right? But, and I actually made a few home runs too when I was a little kid. So, yeah. So, how's your batting average, right? How's your batting average? Okay, so you have to practice at hitting the balls, okay? And in baseball, for players to improve their batting average, they go to what you call batting cages, okay? And in a batting cage, it's an enclosed area where a machine pitches these balls to you, one after another, in sequence. So you can just keep practicing hitting. And that's how a lot of baseball players practice, is they go in the batting cage and they hit a lot of balls in a short period of time. It's a really cool thing. So it's really cool, and they can set it at different speeds too, which is pretty cool. But the thing is, they all pretty much come from the same angle. And it's a lot different when you get out on the field and you have those curve balls coming at you. You know, you have balls that come at you with a different spin on them. So likewise, as Christians, we are all up to bat. All of us. And the world is our diamond. The world is our outfield. Okay? And the world is pitching us claims all day long that do not agree with biblical truths. All day long. Some of the stuff that comes at us is pretty straightforward, like God doesn't exist. Oh, that's an easy one, right? Or the Bible can say anything you want it to say. Well, we know that's not true. Okay, so those are pretty straightforward pitches, so we know, you know, right away that they're wrong. Another example, a lady that goes to church here was telling us one time that she visited another church before she found our church, and they were saying Jesus didn't really save us. And she goes, right away I knew that that's not right. And so she discerned that's a foul ball, right? And right away she's like, that church is out. So good call. Good call. But not everything comes to us from such a straightforward pitch. We have those curveballs that come at us. And people are saying things that are subtly different from a biblical perspective. And we just don't know always how to react to that. So, therefore, I've entitled my message, Discerning the Curveball. Okay? Discerning the curveballs. In baseball, a pitch that's thrown with a strong downward spin, causing the ball to drop suddenly and veer to the side as it approaches home plate, is called a curveball. In speech, something which is unexpected, surprising, or disruptive, we nickname curveball. They threw me a curveball, right? Did you ever say, I didn't see that coming, right? Curveball. Okay. You may feel discouraged by it all and decide you don't even want to try to hit the ball. But don't be discouraged. It's like the legendary Yankees player Babe Ruth once said, and I have a slide for this. He said, never allow the fear of striking out to keep you from playing the game. Babe Ruth. And that's really good advice because God's word says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So we have to keep on swinging. Amen?
Amen.
Keep on swinging. Has anybody ever seen the movie Angels in the Outfield? How many have seen that? There's actually two versions of it. I didn't know that. Mike and I the other day were watching the original version, which I think was from the 1950s. It's not nearly as good. They don't actually have angels out there. You have to use your imagination. It's just kind of weird. But the new version is really cool, though. It's a cute movie. It's all about angels helping out those players when they're playing the game. Pretty cute. But the truth is, there really are angels in our outfield. Amen? And they help us. And we can see that in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the Assyrian army, right? And his servant is like overwhelmed and fearful. But Elisha had a different perspective. He said to them, there's more of us than there is of them. Why? He was seeing in the spirit realm, see? He was seeing that there was angels in the outfield. And then Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And his eyes were opened to see the Lord's army of heavenly host all around. And it changed his perspective. See, having an awareness of God and the spirit realm, it'll change your perspective because he's fighting for us like we just sang today, right? God is fighting for us. Amen?
Amen.
So we have angels in the outfield, but not only that, we also have the Holy Spirit. He is our guide. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He tells us things to come, and he brings all things to our remembrance. Amen?
Amen.
We need to stay in touch with him throughout the day and learn to discern his voice. Amen?
Amen.
He will help us to discern those curveballs when they're coming at us. Now you ask, how can I get better at discernment? Okay, we have a slide. Number one, pray for it. Pray for it. Okay, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, pray just like Elisha prayed. Pray for your own eyes to be open. Pray that you'll be able to see clearly and discern between good and evil. Okay, and then you'll be able to strategically see the world around you, see what's going on, and you'll know how to pray better for the world's situations, and you'll be able to take authority over the powers and principalities that we're dealing with. Another biblical example of praying for discernment is King Solomon. Okay, when Solomon became king after his father David, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, the Lord said to him, ask whatever you will and I will give it to you. Wow, isn't that awesome? And the Lord, and this is what Solomon said. I'm gonna quote it. Just listen. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child and I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Wow! God tells him, you can ask for anything you want. And what's he ask for? The ability to discern between good and evil. Wow. So the Lord was so pleased with Solomon's request that he told him, because you did not ask for riches and honor and anything for yourself, therefore I will give you what you asked for, the discernment, but I'm also going to give you riches and honor too. And he had them as long as he followed the Lord. That's key. Amen. And followed his commandments. So Solomon was doubly blessed. In fact, the Bible says he was the wisest man. And you see, discernment and wisdom, they are sisters. They are very closely related. So we need to ask for discernment. Yes, there's darkness all around us. The world's getting darker and darker. But the Lord's saying, arise and shine. Amen?
Yes.
So how do we get better at discernment? One, ask for it. Number two is read the word daily, okay? Reading the word is essential. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. So the word of God itself discerns our thoughts and our heart's intentions as we read it. And it'll give you the truth to judge the things you are hearing all day long.
Yes.
Both internally and externally, okay? Internally, to discern your own thoughts. To discern their thoughts, like, is this God? Is this me? Or is this the devil, right? We need to discern the difference in our own thoughts. And we need to learn to discern the voice of God. And also externally, okay? And that is those balls being thrown at us all day long. We have to be able to discern them. They come from other people. They come from the news. They come from social media, okay? And we have to be able to discern those curveballs. We have to hold everything up to the word of God to see if it agrees or not. The word of God is the standard that we use to judge all things because it is truth. It is God's word. And the truth is, as Christians, we all want a Christian worldview, right? But the truth is, we may not all have one. And the reason is, we've all been fed by the world to some degree or another. We've all swallowed things we shouldn't have, okay? But the Word of God is a discerner of our thoughts. And like I said, time in God's Word is essential. We are what we eat, both physically and spiritually. What goes in is what's going to come out. So go to the Word of God and see what it says on any subject. Get out your concordance. Look things up. Do a study, right? Okay, Romans 12:2. I think we have that. Okay, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the Word of God transforms us, doesn't it? Our mind is renewed by God's Word. Reading His Word helps us to change our worldly thinking into God's thinking and to have the mind of Christ. We read His Word and we see how He thinks on a subject. Then we change our views to line up with His. That's how it works. Because the Word of God has power to change us. Okay, there's also what the Bible calls the discernment of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10, we have a slide. Okay, list discernment of spirits as one of the nine manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to learn more about these gifts of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come out to my spiritual gifts class that starts next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Okay? And I think that's going to be in the lounge. If not the lounge, then the gathering room. And I might add, gifts need to be developed. So come out. You've got to develop your gifts. Amen? We need to discern what spirit someone is operating in. That's the gift of discernment of spirits, okay? Did you ever just feel creeped out by somebody?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, listen to that. The Lord's showing you something. And he might show you how to pray for that person. And he might be telling you to be careful and not get too close to that person, right? Okay, he'll give you wisdom. Do you sense the Holy Spirit in worship? Yeah. So you're operating in discernment. You're discerning the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Discernment is sensing, like I described, but it's also thinking. In fact, discernment applies to how we think about everything. It's a vast subject. The culture we live in is indifferent to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. But as Christians, we cannot be so. The world, and even some churches, may put a different spin on who Jesus is than who he really is. So we are now going to look at just a few examples of false Jesuses that people portray out there. I'm just going to give you three. There's lots, but here's three, okay? There are those who put the spin on Jesus. I'll call it the nice guy Jesus, okay? The nice guy Jesus. This Jesus is far more human than divine. In fact, he's just like you are, except he was a really good example in his life, and he taught some really good stuff, okay? You might also call this Jesus the good teacher Jesus. Is he a good teacher?
Yeah.
He sure is, but he's much more than that. Amen?
Yeah.
Those who put the spin on him might not come right out and say he isn't God, but they overemphasize his humanity. But the Bible clearly describes our Jesus as having two natures.
Mm-hmm.
He is fully God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is fully man. He is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. It took a sinless man to bear the penalty for our sin. And guess what? There wasn't any. Therefore, God had to come down and become a man himself to save us. It's that simple. It's really simple,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If we downgrade either Jesus' humanity or his divinity, we come up with a very different Jesus than what the Bible reveals. Our second false Jesus is the non-evangelizing Jesus. Okay? I think I have a slide for that. Okay, non-evangelizing Jesus. Remember I said there's a lot of voices out there? Well, listen to this one. This comes from a current Twitter user who's out there pitching balls about who he thinks Jesus is. And he says, and I quote, "Jesus does not tell us to convert the poor, the homeless, the imprisoned to Christ. He tells us that the poor are Christ and we must be converted to them." Oh boy. So he's preaching a non-evangelizing Jesus. This Jesus just doesn't care if you tell others about him or not. And as long as we're taking care of their earthly needs, okay, this is also called the social gospel. Just go out there and do nice things for people, but you don't have to give them the gospel, right? All right, now do we need to take care of people's earthly needs? Absolutely, of course we do. But we also have to be faithful to tell them the gospel. Tell them who Jesus is, so they can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen? So you say, well, what do I do first? Do I tell them about Jesus or do I care for their earthly needs? You got to be led by the Spirit, you know, however the Lord leads you. But, you know, they're both important. But I can tell you this. The Lord said in Mark 16, he said, and you can put it up, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we need to be evangelizing. Okay, my last example of Jesus Christ is what I'm going to call the Santa Claus Jesus. Okay? Here Jesus is portrayed as a God who wants to give you everything you ever asked for. Just be really good all year. Okay? Is God good? Absolutely. Does he want to bless you? Absolutely. Does he give you everything you want?
No.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
I'm really glad. But he gives you what you need. And the truth is, the goodness of God that he's giving you, because you say, God's been so good to me. He's just been so good. God's just so good to me. That's good that he's good. But you know what? The goodness of God is supposed to lead us to repentance. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. There's a reason. Hosea 35 says, they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. And his goodness. You see, that reverent fear of God and of his goodness, it keeps us from taking that goodness for granted, you know? So those are just a few of the curveballs that are out there in regards to who Jesus is. The best way to get to know Jesus is to read his word. And if you really want to know what he thinks on a subject, go to what Jesus said in the Gospels. You know, earlier this year, the Lord spoke to Pastor Jeff, remember? And he said, tell them to read the red letters. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me that same week and told me to read what Jesus says in the Gospels. Because I didn't have any red letters. Anyway, some Bibles have them, some don't. But what it means is the words that Jesus said in the gospel, make sure you read those. Amen? I mean, all the whole Bible is the word of God. Don't get me wrong, okay? And we need to read all of it. In fact, I'm doing a read through the Bible in a year thing. Is anybody else doing that? Kudos to you who stuck with that. And the rest of you, you know what? You can jump in anytime. It doesn't have to be January 1st. You can jump in and start going through the Bible anytime. There are Bible reading programs. We got some back on the track rack. And there's all kinds of things you can get online on your phone, right, as well. So it's never too late to get with that program. Okay, but I want to say this. When you read the Word of God, invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to you and to show you and to lead and guide you as you read. It's so vital that you invite the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, in closing, okay, I just want to give you a few quick facts about discernment. Okay, discernment is not fear-based. It is not fear-based. When COVID first hit, and you could put that up, yeah. When COVID first hit, all the conspiracy theories were driving me nuts. I mean, it was just driving me nuts. And then the Lord led me to Isaiah 8:12 that says, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. Amen?
Amen.
Discernment is not fear-based, people. It's not. And number two, discernment is loving. It is loving. 2 Timothy 4:2 through 4 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Okay, we need to beware of that. And when we discern something is not right, the loving thing to do is to gently, and I want to say gently, tell them what the word says. Tell them what God says on the subject. Discernment is loving. Amen? We need discernment in the body of Christ today like never before. But it's not so we can be divisive, judgmental, or critical. We must learn to walk in both discernment and love at the same time. Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpent and as harmless as doves." Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to close with an activation, and I'm going to ask you all to stand to your feet, please. Okay, this is what I felt like the Lord wanted to do. He wants to throw you a ball today, okay? In the spirit. Notice I put down the hardball, okay? We're not playing hardball. Okay, but I'm going to throw you a blessing from the Lord today. And this is a gift of discernment. God wants to throw you a gift of discernment. Now, he wants you to get out your spiritual mitt, okay, your spiritual baseball glove, and receive what he has for you. So I'm going to tell you to put your hands out, and you say, well, this is childish. Well, the Bible says have childlike faith, okay? So if you don't get your hands out and you don't receive it by faith, then there's none for you, okay? But God wants me to throw this ball. It's not me throwing it. It's the Lord, okay? So I want you to catch it. Now, keep in mind, gifts need to be developed, okay? So you need to stay in the Word. You need to pray, all those things. But this is a seed of faith, a seed of discernment that's coming into you. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, you want us to be discerning. You want us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, Lord God. So, Lord, we earnestly desire discernment. We need discernment in this last days, Lord, to discern these curveballs that are coming at us from every angle, Lord God. We can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us, to show us, to give us that gift of discernment. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray at the count of three, I'm throwing the ball. Are you ready? One, two, three. Here it comes. Discernment. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Discernment. 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 Say, I receive. I receive. I receive. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you're pitching us spiritual gifts and we're receiving them, Lord. We thank you. So now, Lord, as we go out there, I pray that our eyes would be open as Elisha prayed. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may discern, that we may see clearly, that we may have discernment and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.